Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses the current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. Stay tuned and listen to the movers and shakers in multifamily share their opinions and thoughts about what's old, what's new, and where the multifamily industry is heading in the future. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Well, welcome and thank you for tuning in to Multifamily Matters, powered by the Multifamily Media Network and the only broadcast radio show in the nation that's solely dedicated to multifamily industry operations. I'm your host, Paul Marks, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. We have a great show with a wonderful guest who's extremely knowledgeable and right in the middle of today's topic. And today we're discussing the topic of building and maintaining great multifamily teams. Joining me in the studio is a longtime multifamily industry veteran, the fabulous Dally Ward, Vice President of Property Management with Bonner Carrington. Welcome, Dally.
Thank you, Paul. Good morning.
Yeah, I'm excited about this topic because this has been something that's come up over the 8 years we've been doing this show many, many times. Everything depends on teams, whether they're teams on site or teams corporately. You've got to have great people. You've got to invest in your people, and you've got to be able to find those people. And that's really kind of what we're going to talk about first, is the how do you recruit and hire people to make great multifamily teams. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, so very similar to a lot of the other management groups out there, we're going to start in the same place, which is a job board, whether that's going to be Indeed or any of the other ones that are out there. And so, you know, we want to be able to cast that wide net and just see who's out there and who's currently looking. And then we've got to have a good way of refining those down to the individuals that you're really interested in. And we're going to do that by an evaluation of their resumes, really, and just looking through what, you know, speaks to us. And so I recommend that everybody really focus on their resume. One, if you're looking for something, and make sure that your resume stands out from other resumes. And you can do that by having, you know, peers look at it or anything like that. But, you know, one of the things that has really, I think, come a long way is the social media aspect of trying to recruit. And so we're currently really focused in social media on our Facebook and really in LinkedIn. And that's where we've been finding the most benefit to recruiting. And that is finding people that maybe weren't currently looking for a job, but something that you put out into social media spoke to them at some point. And then when you post that job, they're like, I saw that Dally posted something, or somebody else in the company posted something that really spoke to me, and I want to know more about this company. And so maybe I'm not currently looking, but what you've said spoke to me, and I want to find out more about what this company has to offer.
Yeah, and just to give our listeners an idea, with a company the size of Bonner Carrington, at any given time, how many positions are you trying to find people for?
Well, probably around 10, sometimes, you know, upwards of 20. We've got a lot of lease-ups going, so it feels like right now we've got a lot of open positions. But team's doing a great job in that recruiting sector, and we've been finding some amazing people, again, a lot through that LinkedIn. Now, I think when you're doing things the right way as an organization, the other more powerful things that you're going to get in your recruiting are internal, you know. So the people that are working in the company, do they feel valued? Are they loving what you're doing as a company? If they are, they're going to start making recommendations to other people. And some of my most recent hires have been recommendations from internal team members that want to bring people that they know over into the organization. And if you start having those, I think that is the most powerful thing that you can show that you're doing as an organization, that people want to work there and they want to bring people they know into it.
Yeah, my father was in the advertising business for half a century, and he used to tell me that the same thing with referrals is word of mouth advertising is the most powerful kind, and it's the only one you can't buy. So you've got to earn that, and that's important. Talk a little bit about job descriptions and when you're looking to fill positions, how do you go about crafting job decisions? What's important?
Yeah, I think one of the things that people get really focused on, and we do too, is really defining what the role is. And you want to do that. But the other thing is there's some intangibles, like who are you as a company? What are you trying to do as a company? For us, it's servant leadership and high performance principles. So we've been really trying to incorporate those things that we're trying to do as an organization into job descriptions. And we've kind of even taken it a step further. We've got a personal development plan that we've got. So we're working on both sides, where there's a job description trying to, you know, entice people over and that they see what the role is. But also, once you come over to Bonner Carrington, we have a plan in place that speaks to all the things that are in the job description around what the role is, but also those other pieces, again, servant leadership or whatever it is that your organization might have, and high performance principles or what. And you've got to be able to incorporate those so that people really have a better understanding of who you are as an organization and what they can expect when they get there. Another thing that we really incorporate along with the job description that every applicant that we decide to move forward with an interview, and we have a recruiting specialist that helps us with this, we send them our culture document. We have a culture document that we're really proud of, really talks about who we are as an organization. And we expect you to read it and to answer questions about it before you can ever even interview. Because if you read that document and you go, I didn't love what's in there, then maybe we're not the right company for you. And we would rather you know that and us know it before we ever go into the interview process.
So you're saying there's a quiz.
There is a quiz. There is a quiz. And if you don't answer the questions, you don't move on.
Talk about diversity and inclusion.
Yeah. So, you know, I think this is incredibly important. One of the things that I'm always looking for when I'm doing interviews is, how does this person fit in to my overall team? You know, and I'm always looking for somebody that's going to push us, somebody that's going to have different ideas than the team already has. Like, sometimes you can kind of see your team, if you're at the right level, and say, like, we've got a little weakness over here. Who's going to come in and support us in this one area? So, you know, that could be somebody with a totally different background. And like recently, I hired somebody from outside of the multifamily industry to just bring in new ideas and new experiences that, you know, maybe we were lacking in that particular area. And he's done a fantastic job. So, you know, one of the things that I try and do is look for those and try and find somebody that's going to fit into that piece for us.
And when it comes to onboarding, what are your tips?
Yeah, so it's always a tough one. And no matter what you try and do, or maybe what I've tried to do, you always end up feeling like you missed something. So you want to try and get everybody started the right way. And that's normally making sure that they have all their logins. You know, the most frustrating thing that I think a person can walk into and just not have access to anything in day one. So one of the things we've been working really hard on doing is, you know, about a year ago, I think we had 16 different logins for all the different services. Well, we've cut that back to like 5 or 6. So, you know, we've been really working with our IT department and our software department on how do we get these down to a more manageable level. That'll, you know, make it a little better experience for the folks coming in, and all of a sudden you don't have a sheet that's in a whole sheet of just passwords and logins, right? Like, that doesn't feel like a good way to get started. And then something I do, and I actually heard you talk about this in an episode maybe a little while back, is I handwrite a thank you card to them. I think it's a nice touch. It's not something that I require in Bonner Carrington. It's just something that I do. And then I try and buy them cookies or flowers or candy or just something to let them know that I appreciate them coming to work for me, because they have options.
Right.
So, you know, I think it's a good way to get started. Then the other thing is, give them some of your time. You know, if you're going to hire somebody, be prepared to spend whatever time that's going to be required in that position. Might be a day, might be 2 hours, might be 3 days. If I hire a regional manager, I know I'm coming to Houston and I'm going to spend 2, 3, 4, 5 days in Houston with that person, taking them around to all the sites, making sure that they know the team, that they feel comfortable, that we've gone over, you know, expectations. So that time, I think, is critical to, you know, getting somebody started the right way. And then new hire orientation. You know, we have new hire orientation one time a month. If they're local in Austin, they get to come into the office. We feed them. If they're in our DFW or Houston or any of our other areas, They're on a Zoom call, and it's a chance for them to start their servant leadership journey. We do that. We introduce them to the executive leadership team. It's just a nice way to kind of get everybody started on the right foot. And then after that, really making sure that they understand what training is going to be provided and, you know, and kind of starting them off on that training journey as well.
No matter how good a person is and how much experience they have, they don't want to feel like they've been thrown into the deep end without somebody kind of walking them through it. So that initial onboarding, I think, is so critical, no matter if the person is experienced or not. Would you agree?
100% agree. And something we've been working on and we're going to hopefully roll out is a mentorship program. Mm. And I think we've got some pieces to that working. We've got some regionals that do a great job of reaching out to the other regionals. And we're just trying to make sure that we've got that throughout the entire organization. To your point, having somebody that they can call and appear, right? Because you don't always want to take everything that you're going through to your boss. You know, you want somebody else to be able to talk to.
Right. All right. Well, we're going to leave it here for this segment. We're going to be back right after this short break. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
SMART is a national multifamily research and analytics company providing market, property, and floor plan level data to track performance, evaluate competitive strategies, and identify potential investment opportunities. Their innovative web-based software and mobile application contains extensive searchable inventory of granular historical data, floor plan by floor plan rents, concessions, and availabilities for enhanced analysis and forecasting. For more information or to sign up for a free trial, go to smartapartmentdata.com.
In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
Control by Net provides communities with video surveillance solutions accessible 24/7 from any web browser or mobile device. Our remote guarding reduces crime in garages and mailrooms. Many top owners and managers already utilize our services and love the single sign-on feature to see all properties. As NAA and NMHC members, Control by Net only serves multifamily. Our cloud and managed video solution is consistently voted easiest to use. We meet any compliance requirements. Visit us at www.controlbynet.com or email us for a free site survey at crproperty@controlbynet.com.
We are back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, powered by the Multifamily Media Network, and coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. And today we're discussing the topic of building and maintaining great multifamily teams. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me in the studio is a longtime multifamily industry veteran, the amazing Dally Ward, Vice President of Property Management with Bonner Carrington. I do remind our audience, if you would like to provide show topics, guest ideas, suggestions, or just listen to the archived episode of Multifamily Matters, please go to our website at multifamilyradio.com. So, Dally, we talked in the first segment about recruiting and hiring when you are building and maintaining great multifamily teams. Let's talk about building those relationships. What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, so, you know, I think the first thing that you need to be able to outline and understand is, what does the communication look like? You know, and to be able to help with that, we have started using DISC. And it's a program out there that, you know, most people are probably going to be familiar with. And it's a, you know, it's an emotional IQ kind of a, or EQ kind of a scenario. And basically what DISC stands for is you have Ds who are dominant, you know, and so being able to recognize and understand that. And those are folks that are going to typically be fast-paced, task-oriented. Then you're going to have the I, which is influence, fast-paced, people-oriented, steadiness, slow-paced and people-oriented, conscientious, slow-paced and task-oriented. And, you know, once you kind of get a better understanding of where they fall out on the DISC, and we, anybody that's leading any of our teams, all the way down to our maintenance leads, they're going to take a DISC assessment, and then we're going to take a look at that. And one of the my favorite parts of it is there's a do and don't. Do say this to this person. Don't say this to this person. You know, and so it's just a nice look into who they are. And then once you start kind of assessing that, you better learn how to communicate with them. And so we will, you know, have a DISC assessment done for somebody that maybe we're struggling with, you know, and that could be, you know, housekeeper, and we'll have a DISC just so that we better understand where they're coming from and hopefully can communicate better. So that's one of the most critical things, I think, in building a relationship that's going to be healthy and hopefully long term. You know, the other thing that I think is critical is team building exercises. You know, our founder and CEO, Stuart Shaw, he uses this technique where he's trying to learn seven things about you. Mm-hmm. And so as soon as he meets you, he starts down that journey of what is it that makes Paul tick? What is it about him? Who is he? And so he's always trying to find out seven things about an individual. And I think there's a lot of benefits to that because you start learning who they are, whether that's professional or personal, but it starts kind of building that foundation. One of the things that we're really working on is servant leadership, which I spoke about. And so we have servant leadership training. And around once a quarter, we get everybody together and have this leadership training, all the new hires. So regardless of where you're at in the organization, you're going to come to the servant leadership training. You're going to find out a little bit more about something that's very important to us. And there's going to be activities and workshops during that day. And we bring everybody into Austin right now. We're thinking about maybe taking this out on the road, but right now everybody comes to Austin. We can have upwards of 20 or 30 people there sometimes. Mm. And it's just a great learning and bonding experience that we think goes a long way into building that relationship.
Now, is that inclusive of all positions? You said so.
Yes.
From a maintenance tech up to a regional or whatever.
Yes. When I got hired, I was in that class.
Yeah.
You know, and got to participate. And, you know, I still remember some of the maintenance folks that, you know, one of them stands out to me. And, you know, it was just he was on my table. And so we learn how to kind of build something together, and you're trying to build the highest tower out of some noodles and you got a marshmallow on, you know?
Right.
So again, it's just it's a great way for everybody to meet other people in the organization, people from DFW, people from the corporate office. And, you know, again, a kind of a great way to start those relationships.
Yeah.
The other thing that's, you know, really important, and we call it the platinum rule, is treat others the way they want to be treated. And so if you're going to treat somebody the way they want to be treated, that means you have to get to know that person. You have to, you know, going back to what Stuart tries to do, you need to be able to spend time with that person. And it's all about building that foundation of trust and kind of mutual respect. You have a chance to let them know who you are, and they have a chance. And so then that continues down that communication of, I know how I should talk to Paul. And I know that it's not the way that I want to be talked to. And I think that's something that we've heard the golden rule for a lot of years, right? And and there's some truth to, if you meet somebody and you don't really know who they are, maybe you should try and treat them the way you want to be treated, which would be with respect. But once you get to know them, treat them the way they want to be treated.
Yeah.
You know, the other thing that I do is I have a things about me worksheet that I give to anybody on my team. And what that is just a chance for them to tell me what their favorite coffee is, what their favorite candy is, what their favorite music, book, soft drink, ways they want to be recognized. right? Because maybe the way I want to be recognized is not the way you want to be recognized. So it's going to be important to know that, because you do want to recognize those people on your team. It's a critical part of what we do, but you want to do it in the way that they want the recognition. So if I want to make a company announcement, but that is like the least favorite way that they don't do it that right. way, right? So, and then I share that with everybody on the team. So let's just say that, you know, somebody does something great and somebody wants to give them a gift card. Well, we know what kind of gift cards they like in the different increments and everything. Or if it's your birthday, maybe I'm going to get. So there's just a lot of different ways that you can utilize something like that to continue to build that relationship with your team. The other thing is, do what you said you were going to do when you hired them. Did you offer to help with something, or did you offer to help, you know, do a 30, 60, 90 day plan with them, or coach them in a certain way? Whatever that is, make sure you keep note of it. Make sure you fulfill that with them. That always goes a long way into building that relationship. The other thing I really like to do is start one-on-ones. So I have weekly one-on-ones with my entire team. Now, sometimes we might have to cancel them just depending on what's going on, but I think it's a critical piece of what we do in the start of that foundation and building those relationships is just getting those one-on-ones started and getting some momentum behind them and just kind of building into that routine. The other thing is, call your people every once in a while and just to check in on them, not because you needed something, but because you actually cared about how their day is going, how their week went, how their weekend is, what kind of plans they have coming up. Those personal touches, I think, because my team doesn't want me to call them, and every time they hear from me, I need something from them. So that's another way that I'm trying to build those relationships.
How about feedback?
Yes. So, you know, if you have one-on-ones, you should be getting feedback both directions. Now, I use one-on-ones for my team member to come to me with whatever it is they need. I'm rarely giving them anything in the one-on-ones as far as extra tasks or anything. So we try and utilize that time for them to bring me. And sometimes it's nothing. Like, we might sit there for 30 minutes and just talk about what our plans are for the weekend, which is still great because you're building that relationship. For me, if there is feedback, I'm trying to be intentional about setting up a call with them to be intentional about the feedback. You can do that in the one-on-ones if you think it's appropriate, but, you know, I'm trying to use that time in a different way of building and nurturing the relationship. Sometimes if you're going to have some feedback, it might be better to have a coffee with them, you know, a neutral area, and be able to talk about that in a different circumstance. And you don't want people to be afraid of the one-on-ones.
Right.
If they get afraid of the one-on-ones, then it's not going to be as productive as I think you would want them to be.
And feedback can go both ways too. So how do you deal with feedback going up the ladder?
Yeah. Well, you know,
whether it's good or bad,
you know, I talk a lot about psychological safety and, you know, and building the relationship with your team. If you don't have the psychological safety for your team to be able to come to you and let you know good or bad what you're doing, and usually good is a little easier for them
right.
than the bad is. So what, you know, for me, I talk about this all the time, and I use what happens in our day-to-day lives. So two calls ago, I let them know that somebody that I recently promoted, on the day that she was promoted, we had a disagreement and kind of, you know, didn't get into the nitty gritty of what that disagreement was. Let them know that it, you know, got a little more heated than either one of us would have liked. But that we, you know, that I appreciated her candor with me and being able to let me know what she didn't like about the way the conversation was going and things that she wanted to change. And even though I didn't love it, we got to a place where we could have that conversation, and we found our way forward, and everything ended up being okay. I think even the person in that call was a little surprised that I brought it up, but, you know, it was a good example of, hey, we can have these kind of conversations.
Right.
They can even be hard. You could even yell at me, you know, it's okay. You know, we'll find a path through it, but you have to have that psychological safety that they know that they can have those. And so having stories like that, I think, is crucial so that they know, like, oh, okay, that happened. Nobody got fired. Nobody, you know, and we are all better for it.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to break it here. We're going to be back right after these messages. You are listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Application fraud in multifamily is a major challenge we're all contending with today, and the risk is ever increasing, making it more important than ever to strive for driving delinquency to 0%. If you could eliminate the worst form of application fraud with just a few clicks, you would, right? With PayScore, accuracy is everything. By automating income verification, they deliver clear, concise, and 100% bank-verified income reports in minutes. No more doubts, delays, or fraud. Just the truth about applicant income. PayScore. Accurate, easy, safe. Visit PayScore.com and start verifying with confidence. PayScore. Click, verify, relax. REV, the multifamily leasing company, is the industry's long-term affordable leasing management solution. After all, it's really not about cost. It's really all about revenues. Book REV's expert directors and leasing career professionals for your properties today. Let REV drive revenues and create significant incremental value for you. Reduce stress, stabilize and maximize leasing performance. Never expend resources to recruit or train for leasing again. Lease up, value add, conventional leasing. Let REV be your long-term leasing solution. Go to RevLMC.com to find out more. That's RevLMC.com. REV is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. Hire REV today.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
Well, we are back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, powered by the Multifamily Media Network, and coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. And we're discussing the topic of building and maintaining great multifamily teams. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me in the studio is a longtime multifamily industry veteran, the fantastic Dally Ward, Vice President of Property Management with Bonner Carrington. I do want to take a moment and thank some of our exclusive sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. EconServe, providing multifamily water conservation solutions for properties across the U.S. REV, the leasing management company. REV is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. Zentra, a seamless security solution designed to solve the everyday problems of shared property access. Zentra is the convergence of exceptional security and convenience. And PayScore, learning the truth about applicant income. So, Dally, in the first segment, we talked about recruiting and hiring, and the second segment, we talked about building relationships with your teams. Let's talk about how do you go about maintaining great relationships with your teams. What are your thoughts?
Yeah. So this might be one of the most difficult things. Mm-hmm. You know, I always feel like building a relationship is normally, you know, easy, but how do you maintain it? And how do you maintain it for the long haul? And we kind of finished the last segment with a little journey into something that one of my managers and I went through, and it's conflict resolution, right? So how is it that you end up in one of these conflicts, and what's the right way to try and resolve whatever that is? And it could be just, you know, one of you being able to say, and again, I'll talk about psychological safety sometimes all day, but you have to be able to have that safety on both sides. And in this particular case, it was me. So I let the person know, like, I can't continue in this conversation. We need to stop this conversation, and we need to pick it up when we're both less elevated. So that's what we did. We stopped the conversation, took a couple hours, came back to it in a much better place, and then we were able to mm-hmm. get that resolution. But what happens if, you know, if that's not the case? Well, I have used a mediator before, and it's normally somebody, you know, that is – preferably from with outside the organization, because you want them to be pretty neutral, and you don't want the person, especially in a situation where maybe you're the leader and you have somebody in a lower position that doesn't agree with, and you just can't get through it. If you pick somebody within the organization, they're probably going to feel like they're going to be on your side because of the right. position authority that you have. So if you can try and find a mediator from outside the organization so that both sides feel represented, anytime that you can have some of these in a neutral setting, you really should, and whether that's over coffee or something like that. I personally don't recommend going to a restaurant and trying to eat or anything. It just feels a little messy in that way. But, drinking coffee or something like that can just help ease the environment and make it a little more safe.
Yeah. And sometimes changing the environment, maybe taking it outside if it's a nice day and doing it outside can make a difference.
It absolutely can.
Yeah.
Then, I think the next thing is this idea of continuous learning and really encouraging this individual and the overall organization's personal development and growth. So we have budgets for all of our corporate employees and all of our on-site employees to be able to participate in trainings. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean that everybody's going to take that opportunity or that they want the opportunity, but, maintenance, if you want to get your HVAC certification, we're going to make sure that you're doing that. If you're a regional manager and maybe you want your CAM or something, we have funds set aside to make sure that we do that. The other thing that is important is to attend group meetings, yearly TAA event. That's something that the team always looks forward to. We've been doing that for the past 2 years. It's a great place for them to not only bond as a team, but also to get a lot of the training that TAA offers in their yearly meeting there. So certainly making sure that they feel like they have a path that they can still grow and develop and better themselves, I think, is going to be critical.
Let me interject one thing there. I've had some guests tell me that they go out of their way to identify people that they believe have a bright future in their team, aren't ready yet to make the jump, but they'll ask them to start attending meetings just to sit against the wall and listen and observe. And they feel like person that helps them to develop their leadership skills. They feel like they're involved, and it builds and maintains that better relationship.
I agree with that. Now, I do think there's certain meetings that you could include
sure.
them in, and meetings
right.
that you might not
right.
want to, just depending on what you're going to talk about. But
yeah.
I do agree. If you see a future for somebody, or really anybody, being able to have them join you is going to make them feel good, is going to let them kind of take a peek behind the curtain, if you
right.
will, into what they will, see on the next level. And also to try and understand, is this what I want to do? Because sometimes when you get a peek behind the curtain, maybe that's not what you want anymore.
Yeah.
So the other thing that we really try and do is recognition and rewards, and we're trying to find effective ways to recognize and reward the team members. Every year we do what we call Heart of the Matter Awards. And so there's 7 different awards, and you have to be recognized by somebody, a peer or anybody, to receive one of those rewards. And we always do it around our Christmas holiday event. And it's special because it's not me saying, Paul should win this award. It's somebody within the organization saying, you've done an excellent job here, and we can see how much you try and lead as a servant leader, or whatever that award might be. And so I think people really enjoy getting those because it's just recognition from their peers. So any way that you can find a chance for peers to recognize one another is a great way to do that. Then we have KPI specific awards as well. And I think the team really enjoys that just because they're the best at something.
Right.
So, and it's just a way of being able to recognize them for the team to feel really good about
yeah.
what they accomplished in the year. So I personally always recommend doing KPI awards, just something for you to shoot towards. We send out what we call a star report every single week that kind of categorizes all the specific ones we're looking at and how you're doing in there. So, all year long, how you're doing and the things that you can try and do to get better, where if you want to get one of these awards, it's not a surprise at the end of the
right.
year. So
they get a dashboard.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. You know, we kind of talked about this already, the regular check-ins. So I can't really talk about this enough on how much I think it means to not only start the relationship, but for the ongoing relationship. One of the things that I do in my weekly meetings is what we call a glimmer, gloom, and horizon. So a glimmer is a win, a gloom is something that's not going right, and horizon is a plan for the next week. I love the exercise just because it lets us focus on things that we're doing right and not always what we're doing wrong. Also gives the team an opportunity to let people know what's not going right. And that's just a chance for everybody to realize, like, I'm not the only one going through this. Other people are having struggles too. And then horizon is just, a goal that we're trying to set for the week. It's a way for the entire team to kind of hold each other accountable to try and hit some of those goals. Also to let people know, like, what other people have going on that week and that people are going to be busy.
So is that done on a team basis or an individual basis?
It's done on a team basis. Okay. So I have a weekly call with the entire leadership group Mondays at 10. And this is how we start our call, is by going through this little segment. And we just used to do wins for the week, and we've transitioned to this glimmer, gloom, and horizon. I like this new setup a little bit better, and it kind of changed from what we were doing. But I think the team, seems to get something from it every week, which is, and again, building the relationships even amongst one another.
And so that's based on the company as a whole, not specifically property by property.
Yeah, it could be sometimes, just depending on what it might be. But it really is, like, in general, I give my wins, and I give what my low point maybe was for the week, and I kind of give what, I'm trying to accomplish that week. And so sometimes people get personal with it and let you know, like, maybe something in their personal lives hasn't been going great, or something's going really good in their personal lives. Again, it's just kind of a fun exercise to do with the team. Okay. Again, we talked about one-on-ones a lot. I spend 5 or 6 hours a week in one-on-ones with my team. Wow. And so it's a considerable amount of time, but I think it's beneficial, valuable. I think the teams, and I also find that I get less phone calls through the week because they know they have that time with me. And so, there's not this need sometimes of reaching out to me because they know that we have that scheduled time. So even though it feels like a lot, I think overall I probably spend less time because we have that dedicated time already planned. The other thing that we really try and do as an organization, we do a thing called listening circles, and this comes out of our culture committee and our director of training and culture, and they just travel around to the different cities and get everybody together and listen to everybody and the good things that we're doing and the bad things that we're doing, and we try and learn from those listening circles. We've got a yearly employee survey, and we just found out that we won Best Places to Work in Multifamily for managers under 5,000 units. So
fantastic.
We're really excited about that. Even more exciting for me is we found out that we're a Best Places to Work for Women in Multifamily. Mm. So I'm really proud of that and all the work that the team kind of did towards that. But when you have those yearly employee surveys, make sure you look at the results, see what you're doing great, and keep trying to do those things. See what you're missing and try and get better in those areas. And then, we really try and work on the team members' mental and physical well-being as much as we can. Try and have great health benefits where you can, if that's an option for you. It's different things that we try and do. We have a yearly region rally where the team gets together and we get to spend time as a group and everybody, and so that's just a fun way to do things. We also have birthday time off. That is in your month, so that's on top of what you might get. Volunteer time off, which is something that I think more organizations are doing, and that's another chance for you as an individual to take another 8 hours and go do something that means something to you personally. So just a few things that I think can maintain those relationships for the long haul.
Fantastic. Well, we are going to be back with our final segment of this episode right after these messages. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Is your multifamily property still on clunky mechanical locks or managing multiple systems for electronic locks? There's a better way to manage your property's access. Zintra is a single system to manage unit, perimeter, and amenity spaces for your multifamily property. Zintra is designed for property and maintenance staff who are overwhelmed and need a system that works from the leasing office to on the go with the Zintra mobile app. Whether you're a leasing agent handling a move-in, a property manager generating reports, or maintenance staff accessing a work order, Zintra will handle your access needs simply and securely. Zintra is paired with Schlage's world-class line of hardware and is now the first to be able to offer Resident Key in Apple Wallet as a solution for tap-and-go entry to all access points on your property with an iPhone or Apple Watch. With Zintra, you don't have to sacrifice between a world-class experience for your residents and decreasing the workload on your staff. Zintra is quick, simple, and secure enough to handle all your multifamily property's access needs. To get started, visit Zintra.co, Zentra.co, Zintra.co, or contact your Allegion representative.
SMART is a national multifamily research and analytics company providing market, property, and floor plan level data to track performance, evaluate competitive strategies, and identify potential investment opportunities. Their innovative web-based software and mobile application contains extensive searchable inventory of granular historical data, floor plan by floor plan rents, concessions, and availabilities for enhanced analysis and forecasting. For more information or to sign up for a free trial, go to smartapartmentdata.com.
Back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters, powered by the Multifamily Media Network, and coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. We're discussing the topic of building and maintaining great multifamily teams. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me in the studio is a longtime multifamily industry veteran, the awesome Dally Ward, Vice President of Property Management with Bonner Carrington. I do want to take a moment and thank some of our other sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. Allegion, a leading provider of mobile-enabled products and solutions for efficient access control within multifamily properties. Balanced Asset Solutions, CPAs with expertise in multifamily property management. DirecTV, the ultimate entertainment experience, is now available to all multifamily residents. Smart Apartment Data, the most comprehensive and up-to-date intelligence on the multifamily industry. And CTS, Complete Technology Solutions, making managed IT an easy business decision for multifamily. So, Dally, in this segment, we were talking during the break. This is one of your least favorite things to talk about, and that's when things don't work out. So we've been talking about how to build great teams, but nothing is without some type of failure from time to time. So tell us a little bit about what your thoughts are on this.
Yeah. You know, when things don't work out, I it's something that we need to talk about, have to talk about. It is my least favorite thing to think about here and kind of write my ideas around, you know, what we're trying to do when these things happen. But if you're a people person like I am, and if you're a people organization like Bonner Carrington is, boy, you hate when this happens. But it does, and so we have to talk about it. And, you know, one of the first things that we're trying to do is just identifying the issues as quickly as we can, you know. So are you recognizing the signs when things aren't working out well? Are you watching those KPI reports? You got to regularly monitor those. And we're a real page house. And so we've got a BI dashboard that makes it pretty easy to just go and look at the KPIs of the properties and look and identify if things aren't going the way that you want to and start making those corrective actions as soon as possible. But you know, eventually something is just not going, you're just not going to be able to have somebody that's in the right place at the right time, and if for whatever reason that is. So, you know, you've also got to listen to the team. You know, your team members are going to tell you a whole lot about the individuals on that team, and you've got to be on site and you've got to be listening to them. And also, inspect what you expect, right? So if you're never on site, you are generally running the risk of something not being the way that you want it to be, whether that's a cleanliness or whether that is just the overall appearance, or that you find that there's a bunch of keys on the desk that people have moved out, but they haven't been moved out in the system. So you really have to do those things to try and identify that issue as quickly as you can, try and make the corrective actions, and start having those constructive conversations. And again, when you're having those, all the work that you've done up until that point and building the relationship and hopefully maintaining the relationship and building that psychological safety is going to leave it open where you can have the conversation about what you see isn't going right and how we're going to correct it. And what those steps are going to be. Are we using our PADP, which we mentioned earlier, so that, are we hitting all the things that we expect of this individual on their plan, in their role, under servant leadership, under the high performance principles? And if they're not, how are we correcting those things? And this is something that I are those goals being met? And if they're not, performance improvement plans, right? We've got to have good conversations around the fact that a performance improvement plan is actually us. We love you. That's why we're giving a performance improvement plan. We still see something in you. We still know that you can be better than you currently are. That's something I've really been talking to my team about a lot, is using them as the tool that they're meant to be used. It's not a bad thing. For, I think, a long time, even when I was coming up, boy, if you got a write up or that was the company saying, we don't want you anymore, we're moving away from you, we're taking these steps so that we can fire you, we got to change that mindset into, these are tools where we're actually trying to make you better. If we didn't like you, especially in the state of Texas, we'd just let you go.
Right.
This is an at-will state. So, yeah. We have some opportunities where we could do something like that. These, even if you get to a write-up, even if you get to a final write-up, and again, it's just talking about this openly, which I do quite a bit, this is us trying to help you. It's really up to you as an individual on whether you're going to take that feedback and do something with it. Yes, we are doing the legal things that we need to do to be able to let you go if you don't do those things. But there's such a stigmatism around them that, mm-hmm. If you really work within your organization of talking about it and talking about these in the right way, people won't look at them like they do right now and feel like it's a negative thing. In some ways it is, right? Because you're just not performing the way that we want you to, but this should be a clear path to how you get better, And what I'm trying to challenge my team is, if you can't give somebody a clear path and you just see that there is no clear path for this person, then let's not waste anybody's time either. And at that point, so if they're not hitting the goals on the PA, or they're not, hitting the goals of a write-up or whatever it is that you call your document, there's got to be a decision of letting this person go now. You need to be able to make sure that you've talked to your HR, talked to your legal department, talked to your supervisor if you have one, about what that looks like, what your plan is, why this person, all the steps that you've taken. Hopefully you've already gotten some of them involved before this point, but now it's time to let them go. So you want to make sure that legally you've done everything that you need to do, that there's no, legal or ethical standards that you missed along the way. And if there is, you might have to go back and do something else before you can make that final determination, just depending on, what your company policies are, or what, maybe you have as a state on legal requirements. And then exit strategy and support. Does your company offer any form of severance packages to people to just make that transition a little bit better? Are there outplacement services or references that you can do? Have you spelled out your COBRA and all those different things to try? Somebody's about to lose their job. And again, if you're a people organization, if you're a people person, this is going to be a rough moment for them and a rough moment for their family. So, think about what it would feel like if you went through that and all the ways that you hope somebody would work with you in that. And again, even if you think about, if you know that person on a level that you hope so, you know what's going to be the best for them or as close to being the best for them in this circumstance. And then, there's a lesson that's going to be learned here. And hopefully, organizations, Bonner Carrington has a way of doing an exit feedback session, and we have somebody call them and just talk through a few things on how they felt as they exited and ways that we think that we can get better, and you've got to have a process to look at that information and learn from it. And hopefully, if you're looking at your employee turnover, is there a common theme? Can you get better than you currently are?
All right. We could talk about this for a whole nother episode, but I do want to transition out because I always like to ask our guests, tell us a little bit about your journey, how you got into multifamily, and also, if someone wants to reach out to you, what's the best way for them to do that?
Yeah. Yeah. So I was in a little town in New Mexico, Silver City, New Mexico. I had a buddy that was managing a little 50-unit community. I was looking for something different to do. And he called me, goes, "Hey, I'm about to quit. I'll put in a good word for you if you want to maybe try this." And I said, "Sure, I'll try that." Regional manager came in, interviewed me, and she's like, "You're going to be a community manager. You don't have any experience." And I looked at her, and I give Susan all the benefit in the world if she could have chosen anybody else. But she decided to go with me, and I told her I wouldn't let her down. I don't feel like I ever did. Her and I went on and worked together for a lot of years. In fact, she promoted me to her assistant regional manager, and then I went on to become a regional manager, and then up to a regional vice president, and then vice president of operations. Left that organization, came over to Bonner Carrington, and have been running the property management division for about 20 months or so now, I guess, as the vice president of property management. And, I would just tell people, you know, if you want something and you go out and you work hard enough for it, you can really achieve anything you want to do, even if you don't have a whole lot of experience. So, Bonner Carrington's a vertically integrated management company. And so we develop and build, manage, own communities all across the state of Texas. And recently we started third-party management. And so we have some of our first clients on our compliance division. And we've got an excellent vice president of compliance that we hired recently, doing a great job for us. And so we've got a compliance client, and so that's going to be a new journey for us that we're really excited about, and we'll be talking and working on that a lot more in the upcoming weeks and months.
All right, and if someone wants to reach out to you, what's the best way to do that?
Email's normally the best way, so my email is dally, that's dally, at bonnercarrington.com.
Okay, fantastic. Well, thank you, Dally, for being here. It's great. We're going to have you back again sometime soon to talk about some other topics, and congratulations on those awards that the company won. Well earned, I'm sure. So we are going to be back next week with another great topic in Power Panel of Industry Experts. You've been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Thank you for listening to Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. To find out more about the show or make suggestions for topics or interesting guests, go to multifamilyradio.com. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.